The scripture reading is Psalm 139, and also I would like to have you look at Lord's Day 10 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is in the back of our hymnals on page 17. That is the teaching of the Word of God regarding divine providence. What a tremendous truth that is. It's so wonderful. The providence of God. And we see the providence of God taught in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's taught throughout. And one of the Psalms that speak of it clearly among many is Psalm 139. So I'd like to read Psalm 139. Lord, You have searched me and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from Your Spirit, and where can I flee from Your presence? If I go up to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in the depths, You are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me, and Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be darkness to You. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to You. Now an example of this is right here, what happens in a mother's womb. For You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise You because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in Your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with You. If only You would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, You bloodthirsty men. They speak of You with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse Your name. Do I not hate those who hate You, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against You? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So far, Psalm 139. Now, Lord's Day 10, question 27 and 28 in the back of our hymnal, page 17. What do you understand by the providence of God? Providence is the almighty and ever-present power of God by which He upholds, as with His hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from His fatherly hand. How does the knowledge of God's creation and providence help us? We can be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will they can neither move nor be moved. So far the reading of the Word of God and also the teaching of that Word in our confession. Before we open this glorious truth of God's providence, let us seek His guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this great truth of the providence of God, help us to understand it. Help us to get great comfort from it. And Lord, when we live, we have this confidence. And when we die, we have this confidence. And so we pray You'll comfort all those who have lost loved ones, like the Gritt family also. And Lord, we pray You will help us to live for You and take great comfort in the fact that You truly hold us in Your hand. Lead us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends, in Jesus Christ our Lord, providence, it's a wonderful truth. It's a word which all of us know. Those of you, boys, girls, young people who know a little bit of Latin, know that providence comes right from the Latin. The first three letters are pro, P-R-O. That means before, like a prologue of a book is the beginning of a book. Pro means for, before. The next few letters are video. Well, we all know what a video is. And the Latin word video means to see. So, you put those together, provide. That's to see a need beforehand. And so, you moms and dads, you think of the noon meal today, and you've probably provided something for that noon meal. See, you've seen the need before it comes. So that's provide. Now that's the verb, to provide. Now you make a noun of that verb, and it's providence. That is God's provision for us, God's care for us, God watching over us. It is a wonderful truth. It's a great truth. God takes care of us. Now what I'm going to be preaching about today is this. That God's care for us is so total. It's so total that there is not a moment of our lives, not a moment, that He is not in control of. He is in control of everything. He rules and governs and provides and takes care of everything. Everything. So I'm going to look at three things. First, the idea of God's providence. Secondly, the scope of it. And thirdly, the comfort of it. First, the idea of God's providence. The idea of God's providence is really God's omnipresence. His omnipresence. And the omnipresence of our loving Father. He is with us all the time. Psalm 139 lays that out. He says in Psalm 139, You've searched me and You know me. You know when I sit. You know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out. You discern my going in. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. And indeed, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I mean, God is with us and He knows us intimately and everything about us all the time. He upholds us by His hand. Now, I can uphold this book, okay, this song. I can hold it. I am upholding that book. But when I lay it down, it's still a book. It's still a book. My upholding of that book doesn't give an existence. I lay it down and it's still a book. That's us. But now, there are bulbs in these lights. And there's light in the bulb. If I would ask the janitor to turn the lights off in the church, would light drop down and lay on the floor? No, it wouldn't. You would not see light laying on the floor. When that light is turned off, that light ceases to exist. Doesn't it? It's gone. Light is gone. It's dark. That is a picture of how God deals with us. We live, we move, and have our being because He is with us. In Him we live. He is our breath. He takes our breath away, we die. Everything in this entire universe depends upon Him. He upholds everything. Not like me upholding this book and then putting it down, it stays a book. No, no, no. It's like He is the source of our existence. And He withholds that and we cease to exist. We live because He lives in us and with us. He is omnipresent. There is no place that you can go and He not be there. There was a prophet one day. There was a prophet who was told to go to a city of Nineveh, and he thought he could hide away from God. He thought he could hide. And so God told him to go to Nineveh and preach to that wicked city. And he thought, no, 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 I'm not going to do it. You know who that man was? I think all of you know exactly who that man was. Who was he? Jonah. He was Jonah. And Jonah thought he could hide from God. And so instead of going to Nineveh, he takes a ship headed for Tarsus. And he thought he had escaped God. And all of a sudden, a tremendous storm comes on the sea of the Mediterranean Sea, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and the sailors throw all the freight off into the water to make the ship lighter. And it only got worse and worse, and the sailors finally thought, hey, there's something going on here. This is happening because there is something, someone in charge of this whole storm that's angry with us. We got to find out who's the problem. So they cast lots, and the lot falls on Jonah. And he's sleeping down in the hold of the ship. And the captain of the ship comes to him and says, hey, wake up. You're the reason for this storm. Tell us who you are and where you're from. And he said, I am Jonah, and I serve the God who controls the winds and the waves. And then they were really afraid. And Jonah said, you know, the only way that this storm is going to stop is if you take me and throw me into the water. They said, no, 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 we can't do that. And so they tried. They fastened the ship better, they thought. It only got worse. The storm got worse. Finally, they said, hey, we're not to blame for this. And they took him by the, somebody took him by the hands, the other by the feet, and whoa, over the side he went. And it just became calm. The whole sea just became calm. That wild, rolling sea just leveled off and it became like a mirror lake. And Jonah went down into the water. And he got in the seaweeds. Read of that. And a great fish came and whoop, ate him. And Jonah wakes up and he's in the belly of the fish. And you know what he does in the belly of the fish? He prays. God is everywhere. You cannot flee from God. God is everywhere. That's the idea of God's providence. He is omnipresent. He fills the heavens and the earth. God is so great. The scope of His providence. The Catechism describes the scope of His providence. He upholds us with His hand, heaven, earth, and all creatures. And so rules them. Now here's the scope of it. I mean, He rules everything. Leaf and blade, rain and drought. Drought a good thing? No, it's not. Drought's a bad thing. It causes famine. God rules it. God rules it. Fruitful and lean years. Health and sickness. Does God rule sickness? Is God behind sickness? Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's behind everything. God is in total control. He rules health and sickness. He rules prosperity and poverty. All things, in fact, come to us not by chance. Not by chance. That is an important thing. It's not by chance. We're not lucky. Luck is really not a Christian word. Things don't go well for us and therefore we're lucky. We are blessed when things go well. God is in charge. And when things don't go well, He's still in charge. You know that? Sure you know that. You've heard that. You've been taught that. You remember the story of Joseph. He was the son of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons and Joseph was his second to the youngest. He was his favorite. And the other boys couldn't stand him because his father gave him a coat of many colors. The father, Jacob, just was very, very attentive to Joseph. He was his favorite and that was wrong. I don't think parents have any business playing favorites with their children. Not at all. Jacob was wrong in favoring Joseph above the other brothers. And it really hurt Joseph. So his brothers, they were planning to kill him. And Reuben said, no, let's not do that. Let's throw him in this pit and then we'll decide what to do. And so as he was in this pit and the boys were eating the lunch that Joseph brought to them, here come some Ishmaelites down the road. And Reuben said, hey, let's sell Joseph to them. And then we'll tell our father that some wild beast got him. And so they took his beautiful coat of many colors and killed a lamb and soaked that coat of many colors in blood and brought it to their dad and said, this is what we found. And his dad said, oh no, Joseph must have been mauled by an animal, by a wild animal. In the meantime, Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. And they take him to Egypt. They sell him to Pharaoh. Pharaoh puts him in charge of his house. Pharaoh's wife has an affection for Joseph and she tries to lure him to sleep with her. And Joseph says, I cannot do this thing and sin against my God. And she kept on it and finally she said, I want you. And he said, no, I can't. And she took his coat. And then Pharaoh came home and she said, look, this Hebrew slave, he tried to seduce me. And here's his coat. And Pharaoh says, well, this wretched young man, into jail he goes. And so he goes to jail. And he interprets a couple of dreams of a butler and a baker. And he's forgotten. 2 years pass. And finally, Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler who was saved because his dream said that he would be restored to his former job, he says to Pharaoh, you know, there is someone in jail who interpreted my dream, and he maybe can interpret yours. And so Pharaoh says, yeah, let's get him. And so Joseph comes, interprets his dream, and Joseph is made the second highest in the kingdom. And the years of plenty were there, and then the years of famine, and finally the family of Joseph comes to get grain, and Joseph reveals himself to them. One of the most dramatic stories in the Old Testament. And then after his father and his whole family come to Egypt, finally his father dies and the boys say, okay, now Joseph, you're going to retaliate, aren't you? You're going to retaliate for the rotten way we dealt with you. You know what Joseph said? He stated a principle. He stated a solid, eternal principle of God's providence. And it's found in Genesis 50, verse 20, a verse that is just so great. This is what Joseph said. You guys meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many people alive. God is in charge. You meant it for evil, God meant it for good, to save many people alive as it is today. And you know what the greatest example of God turning evil to good is? The greatest in all of history? It's the death of Jesus Christ. Peter lays this out in his Pentecostal sermon in Acts chapter 2 when he says, you meant it for evil. He was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, but you crucified and slew him. But God turned evil into good. It's because of the death of Jesus that there's hope for us. And Jesus uses a beautiful illustration about this whole thing of death leading to life. In the illustration of the seed in John chapter 12. He said, you plant the seed, and the seed dies. Now, I'm sure all of you have planted potatoes at one time in your life. You've been involved in that a little bit. You plant a potato. And in the late summer, early fall, you dig it up. And there's the new potatoes. But there in the middle of that cluster of new potatoes is the old potato, all dead and shriveled. God brought good out of death. Jesus said, that's what's going to happen to me. I am going to die. But when I'm raised up, He was lifted up on a cross and to draw all people unto Himself. That is how it works. He turns evil into good. That's the scope of His providence. Everything is included. Everything. Your life, your children's life, your job, your... From moment to moment, 24/7. We are totally dependent upon the Lord, just like that light is dependent on electricity. And God keeps us going. He keeps us going. He gives us life. He gives us health. It's not by chance that we're here today to hear the Word. God led us here. And He'll lead you here, I hope, tonight. Now, what's the comfort? What comfort do you get from God's providence? Three things. We got to be patient when things go against us. Things will go against us sometime. Jesus said, John 16:33, in the world you will have tribulation. In the world you will have trouble. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. It's not going to be a smooth, easy, peaches and cream road for a Christian. Once you become a Christian, it doesn't mean that everything is going smoothly. No. In the world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation and pressure and difficulty and trials. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, said Jesus. So we have to be patient when things go against us. Patient. You know what patience means? We got to wait on the Lord. Patient means to wait. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When an evil one comes upon me to devour me, they will stumble and fall. The whole army gathers around me, I will not fear. Then he ends that psalm by saying, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, for He, the Lord, will strengthen your heart. We can be patient when things go against us, when things go bad, when there's drought, when there's poverty, when there's sickness, when there's trials and difficulties. Don't worry, because God's in charge. God's in charge. Philippians chapter 4. Paul is writing to the Philippian Christians, and he's writing in prison. Not a nice place. He was in prison. And he says in Philippians 4, in nothing be anxious. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, come to the Lord in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep and guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And then he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then he concludes that chapter in verse 19 and says, my God shall supply all your need according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know what? A Christian cannot lose. A Christian who loves the Lord Jesus Christ cannot lose. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I call them by name. And my sheep follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. So we got to be patient when things go against us. Patient to wait on the Lord. When we have surgery, when you hear that you have cancer, there are some people, when they hear that kind of news, they go and just lose it. At the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, there are law officers there 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to prevent people from jumping over and committing suicide. There are some people, when they hear that they've got cancer, they've got trouble, things are just terrible, they go and end it. That's not the way that a Christian does it. We can be patient when things go against us, because we know that my Heavenly Father loves me so much that He gave His Son for me. And when I think that God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing,
He bled and died to take away my sin. If He did that, He'll take care of me all the way. If He gave me His best, His greatest gift ever, His only begotten Son, won't He with Him freely give us all things? So we can be patient when things go against us. And when things go well, we are thankful. Thankful. Really grateful. Are you thankful? I'll tell you, you know what? All of us here today, I would say, can really say things go pretty well for us. You all look very nice. You've driven here in cars. You're going to go home and you're going to have a nice meal this Sunday. You'll be with your family, perhaps. I mean, things are going well, isn't it? Things go well for you. What's the reaction? We've got to be thankful. Truly, truly thankful. The Belgic Confession, in the first article, talks about who God is. God is great. Omnipresent. In God is without beginning, without end. And then it concludes with this beautiful sentence. And our God is the overflowing fountain of all good. We got to be thankful. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. What we have to do all the time is trace our blessings back to their source. They come from our Heavenly Father who loves us. And that brings us to the third comfort. First, we're patient when things go against us. Second, we're thankful when things go well. And thirdly, with a view to the future, we have complete confidence. I asked the elders and deacons this morning, say, what is this adverse city all about? The young people, adverse city, is that a city? Is that a place? They said, no. Dr. Powell leads the kids in the subject of adversity. Oh. So it's not a city, it's just adversity. Adverse city. I wondered for a couple of weeks what this adverse city, where in the world this adverse city was. I know where Walker City is and Grand Rapids City, but adverse city, I never heard of that city. Is that in the northwest side of Grand Rapids? What in the world are young people doing at adverse city? And then this morning I find out it's adversity. That was great. That's brilliant. Thank you, Dr. Powell. Now, with a view to the future, we can have complete confidence that our Heavenly Father will provide all that we need. We don't have to worry. We don't have to complain. You know, the Israelites, honestly, never learned that lesson. They didn't. Moses had a group of people that were just really a problem. They murmured and complained about everything. They finally said to him, you know what? We want to go back to Egypt. We can't stand this manna and these quails. I mean, things are so rotten for us. Bring us back to Egypt. At least we had something to eat there. Moses just shook his head. He like pulled out his hair. What can I do with these people? They never learned. They really didn't. They never really did. They eventually ended up in captivity. Because of God's providence, you and I, with a view to the future, can have complete confidence
that this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even to the end. Last night, my kids and my son and his wife and two little grandchildren were over, and we talked about Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Now, all of you know Psalm 23. It's one of the favorite psalms in the Old Testament. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the relationship. And you know what the benefit of this relationship is? The rest of the psalm tells us, I shall lack nothing. I shall not want. He will guide me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Even going through the valley of the shadow of death, I need fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How much better can that be? Can you imagine anyone hearing all this and reading it in God's Word, in His infallible, inerrant Word, and say, no, I don't want it? Can you imagine a man who's a beggar saying to someone who offers him food, no, I don't want it? Listen, the gospel is free. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come ye to the water and drink. He who has no money, who has nothing, come eat that your soul may live. God is so good. He is the overflowing fountain of all good. Can you understand why providence is such a great truth? And why we sang, great is Thy faithfulness. This God is our God. Our God. Forever and ever, He will be our guide. Our strength. All the way to the very end. And everybody said, Amen.